during the process of our Bible study. But I would like for us to go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to open our minds, open our hearts as we go through this particular area from the Word of God, because it may be a long time before we get back to this again. I'm excited about the fact that we're going to baptize a little whisper in Jesus' name. I said, "You mean your name is Whisper?" I said, "I mean, Whisper?" I was informed that she really doesn't whisper. I said, "Well, then she should have been named Loud and Proud." But we are very excited about that. And Brother Hedrick, our Sunday school director, is going to do the honors tonight and baptize this young lady in the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for being here. Before we're ever seated, I'd like for us to take little Trevor back to the Lord. It is Trevor. Back to the Lord in prayer. We visited with him today at Baptist Hospital, and he took his last chemo treatment today at 3 o'clock. He is 6 years old, and he is a trooper. Amen. He is a fighter. He's not a complainer. He doesn't nag about anything. 6 years old, has been battling with this for already a couple of years or even more, and just tough to the bone. And it was my honor to lay hands on him while Phyllis stood beside him, and we touched God today. Now, Trevor, he gets a little upset when he has to do chemo, and he don't want to talk to anybody. So when I stepped in, he was not vocal at all. And I said, "Trevor," I said, "I'm the preacher, and I'm going to pray for you." And he just kept his little lips real tight. And I asked Phyllis, I said, "He doesn't talk very much." She said, "No, sometimes he don't talk very much." I said, I bet he talks to you very much. She said, "Yeah, he talks to me a lot." And I said, "Trevor," I said, "these nurses coming here and giving you all these shots, doctors giving you all these treatments. I said, they don't know how you feel. They don't know how sick that makes you." I said, "But Pastor knows." I said, "I know how it makes you feel." And he just looked at me and gave a great bodily response. And then we prayed for little Trevor. And at the end of the prayer, I was bound determined to get a noise out of him. And one of his little feet were hanging out of the blanket. And I attacked it and started tickling it. I said, "Trevor," I said, "whatever you do, don't smile. I'm just doing something here." And he jerked his foot back. And I said, "Don't smile." And he was just like... And the second foot got him. That was the one that broke the smile. And so let's just, sometimes out of sight, out of mind. But let's not let Trevor get out of our minds. Amen. Let's just continue to pray and believe God to give him another chance. In Jesus' name. Why don't we pray together right now before we go into the word of the Lord. Believe God, Holy Ghost. We love you and honor you, and we pray, God, that you would descend upon this child, that you would touch him, Lord, by your divine spirit, that you would raise him up, Holy Ghost, with healing in your wings. God, with divine healing in your wings, I pray, Jesus, that you would touch Trevor. Lord, that you would minister to him, that you would move on him, Lord, by your divine anointing, by the healing power and presence of Almighty God. Lord, we rebuke cancer and come against it in Jesus' name. Lord, we stand against this spirit. We come against this disease by the blood of the Lamb and the gifts of the Spirit. We cast it out, Lord. We cast it down in the mighty and the wonderful and the powerful name of Jesus. Everybody say amen. All right. Now here's what we're going to do. This time, everybody's going to pray. I thank God it wasn't you. But why couldn't you pray for Trevor? Let's try it one more time, shall we? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we're trying to come together 100% in one mind and in one accord. And I know the devil doesn't like it. And I know he doesn't want it, because a threefold cord cannot be broken. But God, we're going to stand here until it happens. We're going to believe you, Lord, until it comes to pass, so that you can move, so that you can touch, so that you can anoint, so that you can heal, so that you can save and redeem. We believe you for it right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Praise God. I don't know who it was that touched God. Perhaps it was someone in this sanctuary. Somebody that stands here right now touched God when Pastor was sick. I'm going to find out who it is one of these days. And I'm going to thank you throughout eternity. Amen. It's the devil's big business to distract us. Somebody with cancer in their body, 6 years old. They need prayer. They need hard prayer. They need faith-filled prayer. How many of you will join with us while we're fasting this month and just continue to pray for Trevor? Also, let's continue to pray for Speedy Lure, that God will move through his body. Going to see him tomorrow. Treatments have begun, and I just want to be a comfort to him and a strength to him. There's a lot of people that will not give up on fighting cancer, but they will give up when it comes to the treatments, because sometimes the cure is worse than the disease. And so we want to believe God for all these that need us so desperately. Can you say amen? God bless you as you're seated just now. We are talking about the mark of the best. The mark of the best is holiness upon the child of God. The mark of the beast is a number that men, women, and young people will have to take during the Great Tribulation. But I do not want to take the mark of the beast. And so, that being said, we must be about taking the mark of the best. Holiness is a universal problem with mankind. We need to build the character of God. We're gonna finish the second half of part one lesson that we started the last time. I don't know how long we're gonna be in this, but we're gonna take our time, and we're not gonna rush through it, because it seems as though we take on the outward appearance of holiness so much quicker than we take on the inward appearance of holiness. Amen. I want what is on the inside to be a reflection on the outside. I don't want what's on the outside to be a detection or a deflection of what's on the inside. I don't want to cover up that character that's not like Jesus Christ with holiness on the outside. It's like, I don't want to come in here and just worship God all of the time and still harbor things as a child of God that I shouldn't harbor in my heart, my mind, my spirit. And so we want to build the character and the nature of Jesus Christ. Now, the way that we do that is through the Word. Not how I feel that day. Not how I feel that night or that evening or that morning. But we build the nature and the character of Jesus Christ through the Word of God. Now, as I look out, even in a crowd this size, I say even because Tuesday nights are nights that many people work and people are in college and some folks are sick and some folks found out we're talking about holiness. And for whatever reason. We still got to talk about it. We still got to share it. And so, even in a crowd this size, there's got to be somebody that has a desire. There's got to be somebody that has a hunger. There's got to be somebody that has a thirst to actually be like Jesus. Amen. And I know who it is. It's you. We take on the nature of Jesus Christ through his Word. I heard something today, and I want to share it with you. They said our nation was founded on two principles. Our forefathers basically built our whole nation on just two principles. And if you don't go by these principles, you're not going to make it as an American. You just won't make it. It doesn't matter if you're born here. It doesn't even matter if your forefather was Native American. I mean, the Indians were here before Benjamin Franklin. But it doesn't matter. Our nation basically was founded and built upon two principles. Number one is Christianity. And number two is morality, being moral. That takes in a lot of things like being honest, being pure, holy, having character, having integrity. It takes in all of that. Some of the hardest people to win to God are people that are honest, pure, have integrity and character. Because they feel like they're good enough. But we still need God. And the Lord said we must be born again of the water and of the Spirit, or we can't see the kingdom of God. But if we do not have Christianity and we do not have morality, then we are not going to make it as a Christian, of course. But we're also not even going to make it as an American. That's why our prisons are full. That's why they need to build more prisons. That's why I heard the other day that some sheriff in another city, in another state, had to build tents. And his jail is tents. They have them out in tents. He said, if our boys can volunteer to go to Iran, you can live in a tent here in America for committing a crime. You see, they tried to live a life that is not Christian and has no morality. And what has happened? They're in jail. They're in prison. Or they're committing suicide. Or they're trying to live their life the way they want to, and they're depressed. I've seen Christians depressed. Why? Because there's areas that they've not committed to being Christian. There's areas that they've not committed to being moral. And so they're not as happy and as thrilled and filled with God as they need to be. And I want to be a successful. I don't want to just be a Christian. I want to be successful at it. I want to be good at it. How about you? Amen. In ourselves, no matter how holy we try, I'm just going to help you out here tonight and tell you, we cannot be holy. We are not holy. Isaiah told us in 64:6, let's look at that if we would, Brother Tyre. Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf. In other words, our life goes quickly. And our iniquities and our sins are like the wind. They are many. They have taken us away. This is simply telling us that no matter how hard we try, we cannot be holy within ourselves. We must be filled with the one that is holy. And when we are filled with the one that is holy, he in turn makes us what? Holy. Romans 3:10-12, as it is written, there is none righteous. This is Romans 3:10-12. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. And so many people, when they read a scripture like that, they say, well, then what's the deal? Why should we even try? The reason we try is it goes back to what I said earlier. Both our relationship with God and the founding of our nation is built on two principles, Christianity and morality. And the reason we try is because if we don't have Christianity and if we don't have morality, we are not going to make it. And with the help of God, all it takes is sincerity. All it takes is 100%. All it takes is the effort. Amen. And at best, all we can do within ourselves is obey the Scripture, and then we fall in the grace of God, who is the fulfillment of Scripture. This is not an excuse not to try. This is not an excuse not to work forward toward perfection. You cannot give up. One preacher in our city asked a man in our church, he said, what would you do if you ran across somebody that was demon-possessed? And a man from our church, he said, I'd rebuke it in Jesus' name and cast that sucker out. And he said, what would you do? And the preacher said, I don't know what I'd do. He said, Christians aren't that strong anymore. How'd you like to have that for a pastor? Christians aren't that strong anymore. If they are Christian, they are that strong anymore. If they are born again, they are that strong. Amen. What the problem is in America is the fact that so many churches have become just like the world. They can sing it on Sunday, but it's gone by Monday. They can sing it on Wednesday, but it's gone by Thursday. We need to sing it Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and twice on Sunday. Hallelujah. Amen. This is not just a walk with God when you're around others that walk with God. Amen. Our brothers will be one to God when we become Christians. Our sisters will be one to God when we become Christians. Our mothers and fathers will be one to God when we become Christians. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's look at some methods that people use to become holy. Now stay with me. It's not a good time for a potty break, because you're going to misunderstand. Doors are locked. Ushers have guns. Just kidding. These are some of the methods that people use to become holy. Adhering to rigid rules and regulations. Living sacrificially all of the time. Isolation or social withdrawal. Withdrawing oneself from everyone else. Sounds like some of the stuff we like to do. However, there's only one way to be holy. Now, since there's only one way, I really need you to listen and find out what that way is. Because my holiness is not my attitude. My holiness is not because I decided to be holy one day. Your holiness is not what your opinion is. Your opinion didn't write the Bible. Amen. Somebody said not long ago, I wish, or they said that I would live for God, but I'm not going to live for somebody that I can't see. Or I'm not going to live for something that I cannot see. Okay. That's the kind of person I'd like to give them, just give them a handful of dirt and say, go make a man. And if you can't make a man, then make the dirt. And if you can't make the dirt yourself, then look at the dirt and tell me where it came from. Everybody in the building believes in space. I'm not talking just outer space. My dad believes that it was a crop, that the man went to the moon. That he believed they filmed it in a room somewhere. You got to know my dad. But you do believe there's space in here, isn't there? There's a little bit too much space, if you ask me as pastor, praise God. And we're going to do something about that this year, hallelujah, if I have to kill myself fasting. But you believe in space. How many of you believe in space? Yeah. Cut me out a chunk of it. Well, you can't cut it. How come? Because you can't see it.
Oh, really?
But you believe in it. Well, I have to. It's here. Okay. Then just go on not believing in God. The one that made it. I can go on and on with that, but I'm talking about holiness. There's one way. One way. Hallelujah. Praise God. In order to become holy, we must go through the source. Holiness is this, the nature and the character of God. Because only God is holy. The nature and the character of God, because only God is holy. Are you still with me? Okay, then, you may be seated. To become holy, listen to me carefully, you must take on the nature and character of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, if somebody smites you on one cheek, and if you struggle with that, you're not struggling with your nature. You already have your nature. That's why you popped them back. You're struggling with the nature of God. You're struggling with holiness. Now, don't be talking about her to me. Pastor just preached on that last night. I know he did, but I just want to tell you one thing. You're not struggling with your nature to gossip. You're struggling with his nature not to gossip. We can go a long time. But holiness is the nature and the character of Jesus Christ. There's no such thing as holiness that is apart from God. That's why he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you. And I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings here tonight. That's why we welcome homosexuals. We welcome lesbians. We welcome mixed races. We welcome people that have been married 100 times. We welcome homeless. We welcome the rich. We welcome the poor, the blue collar. Anybody that wants to sit right out there where you're sitting can sit out there and hear the word of God. Because without God, you can't be holy. Without God, you can't be righteous. Without God, you can't be saved. But with God, you can. That's why when I look out there, I want to see makeup. When I look out there, I want to see jewelry. When I look out there, I want to see all kinds of things that the Bible doesn't like. Why? Because it's people that are just now learning what the nature of Jesus Christ really is. But in turn, I don't want those that are lifers and those that have are professionals to go back to our little ones. And it was said about somebody in our church. I don't know who it was, and I'm glad I don't. Amen. We had a new convert sitting out there, and somebody approached her and said, "Don't you have better clothes to wear than that to church?" How was she supposed to know what she's supposed to wear at church? If she comes in a flesh-colored bikini, you get your hands up and worship God and let the Holy Ghost have His way with her. Who made you God? Who made you Gabriel? Who made you Michael? You know what you did? You forgot the mess that the Holy Ghost jerked you out of. You forgot the hog wallow that the Holy Ghost saved you from. Your holiness is on the outside. That lady probably had more holiness on the inside than you ever dreamed of. I get upset when people start throwing darts at our new ones and at our babies. Hey, you don't crucify our babies at Landmark. We're going to burp them. We're going to baby them. We're going to bottle feed them and give them everything they need until they become qualified saints of God. Until they can stand strong with fortitude and win the battle against Satan. We're going to circle the wagons and we're going to protect them against such spirits as that. And don't be walking up to them and sharing their past with them. They already know what their past is. They know what damage they've done. They know how horrible they were. They knew how terrible they were. And you're not going to remind them of it. Or I'll pray the wrath of God on you. So you'll be so busy with sickness. You'll be so busy with marital trouble. You'll be so busy with kid problems. Until you'll never have a chance to go and judge somebody else the rest of your life. And God hears my prayer. I'm telling you tonight, if it takes difficulty for somebody to live for God and stay with God, I'm going to pray difficulty on you. That's why the Bible says when you go against the grain of the man of God, it's not profitable for you. Because I can pray blessing on you or I can pray a curse. You don't believe what I'm saying, but I'm telling you, Doc, what I'm saying is true. Amen. That's why I've got to take my prayer seriously. I can't just walk around here shouting hallelujah and praise the Lord and thank you, Jesus. I've got to be focused when I pray, because there are angels that are listening to me. There is the Spirit of God that is listening to me as the pastor of this church. And if being busy with your own difficulties is going to keep your mouth away from everybody else, that's what I'm going to do. I have not done that. I don't think I've had to. People thus far have been smart enough to understand that when I am contrary to God, hey, what did the Lord say? When you offend one of my little ones, it had been better if what? A millstone was tied around your neck and you were cast into a river somewhere. Be careful. Be careful. And let's take on what? The nature and the character of Jesus Christ. Now the Bible says, too much is given, much is required. You may be on a higher level than someone else, and it's only because you've been exposed to the Word of God longer than someone else. And if that be the fact, then God requires more from you than He does a new one. Because somebody in here's got to lead the pack with the right spirit and with the right attitude and with the right character. Am I right? Praise God. As the devil intenses and as this world gets worse, we're going to see bad things happen to good people right here in the church. So what are we going to do? We're going to cut them up, spit them out, set them on fire, and send them on their way? No, 1,000 times no. Why? Because a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And if there's a weak link in here, we need to surround it with strength. We need to surround it with anointing. We need to surround it with power and authority in Jesus' name until that link is not weak any longer. Amen. Because we never know when that link may be you. Hallelujah. And so we're going to take on the nature and the character of Jesus Christ to be holy. As a child, you don't skip walking and ride a bicycle. It's not possible. So there's phases that you must go through. Let's look at the word standards. Why do we need standards? Standards represent distinction. Did you know that the American flag is our standard? That's our national standard. When you see the American flag, it still needs to raise up goosebumps. I love to see these huge flags that these car dealers have and these service stations and different ones have. And you can usually find out that something bad has happened in the government when you drive by and see a flag at half mast. You watch the flag as it flies. That's the American standard. Standards represent distinction. God has always required His people to be distinct and separate from the world. Did you know that? He has always wanted us to be different than the world. All right, let's look at 2 Corinthians 6 and 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 17. Now, this is what the Word of God is telling us to do. It's not pastor telling us. It's the Word of God speaking to pastor. So pastor can speak to you and giving you instruction in the Word of God. Because if we're going to take on the nature of God, then we're going to grab His nature from His Word. 2 Corinthians 6, 17 says, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Well, what is the unclean thing? That is what we live the rest of our lives to find out. As we find out one unclean thing from another, we discard it. I'm sure that sooner or later I'm going to come to an unclean thing. Maybe an attitude I've got. Maybe a spirit that I have. Or something that I'm unlearned about in the Word of God. And when I come to that, I'm going to learn about it. And it's going to teach me. And I'm either going to accept it, receive it, or I'm going to discard the bad. So as we come to it, we discard it. The unclean things. And then the Lord said, I will receive you. Standards represent quality. standards do not represent the fact that one person is better than another person, because that does not happen in the kingdom of God. But standards do represent quality. 1 Peter 2 and 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. The Bible says, But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, and a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We've been called out of darkness into His light. Now we are to be chosen and royal and holy and peculiar. Amen? Hallelujah. We might have come in low class, and I know I did, but I didn't come in at low cost. It cost Him everything. And I'm going to see to it that I'm going to give Him back everything. Everything. Whatever He wants, He gets. Because He did it first. Standards represent unity. 1 Corinthians 1 and 10. Unity. Now, I want you to hear this very closely, because we live in a world and a nation that believes that everyone takes on their own persona. Everyone takes on their own demeanor. Everyone looks like they want to look, act like they want to act, be whatever you want to be. Here's what the world says. Everybody's different, but they're the same. That's an untoward generation. They're not toward anything, yet they are toward everything. And so here's what Paul gave us a warning. 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, he said, Now, everybody say right now, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all, somebody say everybody, tell your neighbor, you know all means everybody, that you all speak the same thing. So we're to talk alike. And that there be no divisions among you. That means everything is to be alike. But that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Standards reflect ownership. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Paul is telling us again that standards reflect ownership. 6, 19 and 20. Paul asked the question, he said, What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? In other words, he's saying, didn't you know your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? We don't own ourselves. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God. Where? Number one. Where? In your body. Somebody said the body doesn't matter. It's the spirit that counts. Well, Paul is telling us from the Word of God that God gave him to therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen? And so then standards represent bands of love. If we love God above everything else, we will seek to please Him, and our love will dictate the way that we live. Hallelujah. Amen. We should not view standards as the means to gain salvation. Are you listening? That becomes legalism. Amen. We should not view standards as the means to gain Bible salvation. Can't clean a fish before you catch it. Hello? I can't run fast enough to clean a deer before I shoot it. Actually, standards are a result of salvation. It's the result. They represent bonds of love, and we cheerfully submit, because to do so, it just simply pleases God. Now let's look at who sets the standards. James chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. James chapter 1, verse 21 and 22 says, Wherefore lay apart all filthiness. Those of you that feel, I know there's probably nobody here, but just let me say it like this. Those of you that feel that you've got to sin a little bit, you ever heard that? Everybody sins a little bit. J- James said, incidentally, he was the brother of Jesus, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word." Why is he pushing this word like pastors pushing this word tonight? Because it's from the word that you adopt the nature and the character of Jesus Christ. After you adopt the nature and the character of Jesus Christ, and people ask you why you look funny, you look at them and say, "Because this is what God wants." You don't say, "That's because my pastor preaches it. Can you talk to him and see if he can lighten up a little bit?" Amen. It's because we're taking on the nature and the character of Christ, and we have learned in the Word of God that that's what He loves, and we live to do what He loves. And James went on to say, "But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." James said there's going to be people that will hear it but won't do it. And they're deceiving themselves. And so the Word of God sets the standard. Secondly, the Spirit of God sets the standard. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 17. Let's look at the Word of God here tonight. Philippians, and I'm almost done. Philippians 2 and 17. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." In other words, we're not the God that tells Him what to do. He's the God that tells us what to do. And He's not big, bad, and ugly about it. You know, if you don't want to, you don't have to. But those that do will eventually adopt the nature and the character of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I want to tell you something about Landmark. We got plenty of patience because God sure had patience with us. And it ain't over with us. Hello. None of us have arrived. And that's always good, Brother Brown, because you know Pastor always says, when fruit becomes ripe, it begins to rot. And so I don't want to ever get ripe. I just want to continue to grow and grow and grow and grow. So the Word of God sets the standard. The Spirit of God sets the standard. And apostolic preaching and teaching and tradition sets the standard. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. This is very important. This is very important. Somebody said, you don't have to listen to a man. You do have to listen to a man when he's preaching the Word of God, when he's teaching the Word of God, and he is forcefully taking a stand against this world and its influence. That's why you have to have a man of God in 2009. Because when the Bible was written, it wasn't written in 2009. Someone said, I don't see anything wrong with marijuana. It helps with the pain. And I don't see anything wrong with a little booze every now and then. Well, there's nothing wrong with poison ivy either. Go for it. But the Lord has set preachers, pastors, and teachers, the whole fivefold ministry, to direct you, edify you, to discipline you, to correct you. And that's why little things vary from church to church, even apostolic churches. Because it's deep-hearted convictions that the pastor has adapted and adopted for the particular area where he's pastoring. Amen. And so 2 Thessalonians 2:15 says, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." He's saying by the word that God has spoken, or the epistles or letters that we have written. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 6 says, "Now we command you," now I want you to perk your ears up. When the word says command, we really need to listen, all of us. "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us." Now I'm going to take this opportunity, because again, we may not be here for another year, But if there's ever a brother, and there will be, if there's ever a sister, and there will be, that will rise up to cause division, the Word of God says for you to get away from them as fast as you can. Because it's not the will of God. 1 Corinthians 11:16. I'm giving you a lot of scripture here tonight because I don't want you to feel it's my opinion. But 1 Corinthians 11:16 says, "But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God." In other words, what the scripture is saying, there is no other custom. So there's no call to be contentious. It doesn't give you excuse to nullify everything that we have taught tonight. It wouldn't be in the Word of God if we could just wipe it out with one scripture. But that one scripture means that we can't be contentious because there's nothing to be contentious about because we're all supposed to live the same way. Amen. Next week, if it's the will of God, we're going to talk about the authority of the Scripture. As we stand tonight, I want to ask you to do something with me. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. I want you to give the Spirit of God, give the very presence of God, total authority in your life. I'm not telling anybody go get a haircut. I'm not telling anybody stop wearing miniskirts. I'm not telling anybody to stop wearing your hot pants. I'm not telling anybody to do anything. I'm just telling you, just start where we're supposed to start. So when we finish, we'll be finished right. And we're going to talk about some things as we get deeper into holiness. Don't be afraid. Pastor's, he's not giving up. He's not giving in. If anything, I'm stronger than I've ever been. I used to be able to teach this in 3 nights. Now it's probably going to take me 3 weeks. 21 days. And so, I want you, because I have found out in 18 years of pastoring that it is harder for someone to take on the inner nature of Jesus Christ than it is to take on the outward look. That's simple. Just go to Walmart and buy what fits right. Just go somewhere and get groomed up right. But all that inside stuff that grew up with me from a child, all that inside stuff that was, I inherited that from my forefathers, generations away. All that attitude and that spirit, that prejudice, all that hate, that malice, that jealousy, all of that rudeness, that crudeness, and that envy, that strife, all of that. Hey, but that's no reason not to begin right now. We can get started right now. And that we can say, Lord, just let me give everything to you. Just let me give everything to you right now. And God, you begin to mold me. And you begin to shape me. And you begin to make me into your image. God, could we talk to God like that right now? Could we just talk to him like that right now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're not asking for the sacrifice of money. That's easy. We're not asking for the sacrifice of time. That's easy. We're asking for an inner vision right now. We're asking for inner repentance right now. We're asking for something on the inside that nobody else can see. And nobody else can sense. And no one else knows but me. Hallelujah. I see men with their fists clenched as if they're doing warfare. That's good. Because you're identifying something in there that's not like Jesus. And you're ready to pound it to oblivion. You're ready to pounce on it. You're ready to hammer on it. That's good, men. That's good. Hallelujah. I see ladies with tears beginning to well up in your eyes because you see that you're not as beautiful on the inside as you need to be to God. And that brings tears to you. And that's good because that's repentance. Just simply surrender it all. Give it all to God tonight. Give it all to Jesus right now. Hallelujah. Let's let Jesus on the inside and so he can work on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
My sacrifice is less than giving you my.
There are hundreds of people. There are thousands of people that want to hear what you heard tonight, that will act upon what you're acting upon tonight. Don't you even let the devil think that nobody wants to live for God. There's people out there that want to live for God. There's people out there that want to serve God, and they don't care what God wants. They're ready and prepared to give it to Him. One step at a time, one day at a time, one week, one month, one year at a time. Hallelujah, to become efficient, quality Christians. Hallelujah. For the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. 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 And as a result of calling on the name of the Lord and having apostolic revival, we are now prepared to baptize a young lady in the marvelous name of Jesus Christ. For the Bible said to repent and to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Brother Hedrick is going to get prepared. And if one of the ladies would help us to prepare this young lady to be baptized, let's just go giving God glory. Those of you that will, let's stay for the baptism tonight. Just the starting this year of many, just the beginning of many that are going to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Can you give God glory tonight?
I'll give you all.
Praise.
I will give you all.
God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' wonderful and marvelous name.